Through the story of Carl and Ellie, we can notice that life is made of transitions. Some transitions in life are eagerly expected, like graduating into the first job or moving from singleness to marriage or welcoming our first child. But the truth is, church, life is not made of only expected transitions. There are transitions in life that is painful, like losses, relocations, health challenges, and seasons of uncertainty that can ache like a pulled muscle in our souls. This past week, for instance, I was talking to our second daughter, Nicole, who is 14. Last Saturday, she was crying, saying how much she misses her friends from Valley Christian School and how hard it is for her to connect with new friends at Abington Senior High School. On Sunday, I was talking to Marlon Silva, and he was sharing all the changes in his life in the last 3 months with all the transitions and all his concerns and expectations regarding the seminary he is about to join in January. And then on Monday, I was at the office here and I was swapping sports stories with Lee Ticker, and we were sharing how much we love sports, and I was sharing about my sore legs from soccer with young guys, noticing that I cannot play with the guys in their 20s anymore. And trying to comfort me, Lee shared how he moved from racquetball to golf, but for now, he has a setback of his Achilles injury. And then he was trying to advise me to move from soccer to racquetball. I'm still thinking about it. I'm not sure. Those conversations were just little signs that transitions in life are inevitable. And all of us are either in one, come out of one, or heading to one. And the word transition comes from the Latin, transitio. It means a passage from one state to another and it implies movement, a process, a stretch of time between what was and what will be. And that's where we find Mr. Fredrickson in this little movie. He was transitioning from grief to the next step of his life. And that's where Joshua is in Joshua chapter 1. When after 40 years leading the nation of Israel, Moses, under God's guidance, passed away. And now Joshua has the heavy duty to guide God's people and conquer the promised land. So God himself became Joshua's counselor and coach, speaking words that still raise courage in the human heart. And with that, I'd like to turn our attention to chapter 1. And you remember that the book of Joshua shares how God guided that nation, more than 2 million people, into the promised land. They were not trained. Most of them were born in the desert, or when they left Egypt, they were little children. They had no military training, no weapons. It was not a powerful army, and the spies that went to the nations into the promised land before, And by the way, if you're trying to follow me in the printed version, don't do that. Save for later. And then you will hear more. And the Lord is just guiding them about his faithfulness. So Joshua 1 opens with the most doubting transition. Moses, the great leader, has died. Who would want to follow Moses? What a powerful man. 40 years leading the nation. And Joshua, by the way, was helping Moses. He saw how the Lord opened the Red Sea. He saw the 10 plagues in Egypt. He saw how the Lord provided the bread from heaven, how the Lord gave the tablets of the law to Moses. Joshua had the opportunity to see everything. And now, right when the nation stands at the threshold of its greatest challenge, Moses is gone. There is no good time to die. But if we can say that there is a worse time to die, so Moses picked that one. How come? The time of the greatest need, but it was God's plan who decided to call Moses and now put Joshua in this position. And by the way, as I said, the nations they were about to overcome, they were powerful, with mighty armies, well-trained. The spies that went before portrayed the 46 cities like cities with walls that could go up to heaven. It was not an easy task. It was a challenging transition. But the Lord is calling his people. And with that, I'd like to share with you some divine principles for faithful success in moments of transition. Faithful success in moments or times of transition. And by the way, if you are still the old school who use the King James, this is the only Bible passage in King James Version that uses the word success. You won't find the word success in any other Bible passage in the King James Version. ESV, you can, but not King James. So, the Lord just put this word guiding his people into success in a huge time of transition. Our church is facing a big transition. Maybe you are facing a personal transition in your life, but the Lord has provision in times of transition. And the first truth we find is that we need the divine perspective. We need God's perspective in our transitions. God's first word to Joshua frames his present by remembering his past. If you take a look in verse 1 and verse 5, the Lord will repeat saying, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The Lord points Joshua to what he's seen as Moses' assistant. During 40 years, he was working with Moses all together. And in that transition, before anything, Joshua should look back to his past, to the past of God's people, and just remember everything the Lord had done. And the sentence was clear, as I was with Moses. The secret for Moses' success was not his personal ability, his knowledge, his great training in Egypt and afterwards in the desert. The secret for Moses' success was God's presence. The Lord was with Moses. So he could just bring back all the memories during the challenges they faced. And be sure, the Lord had done great things. And he could keep doing for his glory. in our lives, in this season of transition that our church is experiencing, it is vital to look back with gratitude at the long line of faithful servants who have shepherded this congregation over the past 164 years. Beginning with our first pastor, Reverend James Mingins, who during the Civil War was sent to the war, to the South, to evangelize the enslaved people, sharing the gospel and fighting for change in our country here. So this church was involved in the transformation in a missional moment of this nation. Thanks be to God. But not less, we give thanks for Reverend Dr. Dan Morrison, who is still with us. Praise God. Different of Moses, he's not dead. He's alive. He's not here this morning because he went to preach in a different church. So he's still serving with us. But during his faithful 20 years of ministry, when he noticed the aging of our congregation, intentionally with his family, with the session, he worked hard in turning this church more multicultural. And that's the main reason you have a guy with a funny accent preaching this morning. Blame him. And blame the session. I'm sorry. So, we praise God for his providence and faithfulness in guiding his church throughout the years. And as he has done in the past, so he will do for his glory, because he never changes. But secondly, we must seek the divine purpose. During the transitions of life, God always provides guidance to his people. And in verses 1 and 4, God gives Joshua specific direction. He says, cross the Jordan, set your feet on the land, and claim the inheritance I promised. And note the balance. It's a gift, and this gift has work. The land is a promise, but it must be still possessed. The divine purpose does not negate human participation, human responsibility. The Lord said, you should cross the Jordan. I'm guiding you. I'll give you. It doesn't matter if they have strong armies. I'll be with you. But you need to possess. You need to work. You need to be all together. Church, purpose focuses us. In seasons of uncertainty, and when uncertainty multiplies, and with it distraction, God's kindness is to clarify priorities. The Bible says, to the man who fears the Lord, he will instruct him in the way chosen for him. When you know the next faithful step in your life, you can check your list each morning and move. A focused heart leaves less room for fear. And Joshua is told what to do and then called to do it. So in the transition you are facing in your life, do you know the direction? Where are you going now? It doesn't matter if you are a teenager or if you are in your late 80s. God still has a clear direction for all of us. And we need to seek this direction. Where and how? Maybe you are wondering, Pastor, God does not speak clearly like he was speaking to Joshua in those days. Well, we believe in supernatural experiences with God. But The secure way the Lord will speak with you every single day is through His Word. The Bible has all the answers we need to guide our lives in transitional times. The Bible has clear guidance, even in the gray areas regarding decisions. Should I live in Huntington Valley? Should I move to Alaska? Should I share the gospel with my neighbors? Should I share the gospel with the Japanese people? How can I discern that? We're going to see in a little bit, but the first answer is the Bible has clear guidance because the Bible is the Word of God. So in transitional times, we need to uphold the Word of God. And thirdly, we must receive the Lord's encouragement. And we find that in verse 6, 7, and 9. And if you turn your attention in all those verses, three times the Lord says, be strong and courageous. This strength is not a bravado. It's not something that I will keep repeating to bring good luck. No. It is resolute obedience. It refuses to be talked out of God's call, even by the majority. Courage is the steady willingness to do the right thing when others are convinced it is wrong. You remember, out of the 12 spies, then they said, the land is great, but we cannot take it. They are too powerful. The armies are so mighty, and we are not trained. We had only two men who had God's vision in moving forward and believed in the Word of God. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. They said, no, let's do it. Let's move it because the Lord is calling us and we should not fear. But let me ask you, why is the Lord telling Joshua, do not be afraid? Because for sure, in many moments when the Lord or when His people should be moving forward, fear could come. And there are many times in life that the circumstances are so big, great. There are many times that we don't know how to manage the challenges in our marriages, in how we raise our kids, the challenges regarding our finances, regarding our jobs, position. It's not uncommon to face fear. The circumstances will show themselves greater, bigger than we are. But we can see the reason we should not fear. Notice that God's repeated, do not be afraid, is anchored in His presence. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is confidence in God's nearness. Who is your shepherd, Huntington Valley Presbyterian Church? Who is your God? Who is the one who provided and who promised to Joshua and is promising to us that His presence will continue with us? It's the Lord, and that's the reason we should not fear. And lastly, we must hold fast to God's priorities. And we find in verse 7 and 8, with a nation to lead and wars ahead, what priority will secure Joshua's path? It was not a good strategy or powerful weapons, but the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the Lord says, first of all, speak the word. Speak all the time the word. And we can remember some challenges they went through. Just getting in the land with strong cities, distraction and fear could increase. And whenever you are in one place that fears appear, fear is contagious. If we put all our children in one room and one little one starts screaming, scared, all the other children, not knowing what is happening, they will start to scream. Fear is contagious. So what should be the secret that nation would keep in advancing? Speak out the word of God. All the promises, like 365 times the Lord says in his word, fear not, because I am with you. The secret should not only speak the word, but the Lord also says to Joshua, meditate on it only in the afternoon. Amen? Meditate on it day and night. Meditation is slow marination. You are a good cooker. You know what I'm talking about. It's just digesting the word and bringing the word to our thoughts. If work consumes our thoughts, work rules our hearts. If family and family problems consumes our thoughts, family problems rules our hearts. That's the reason the Apostle Paul urges us towards a godly thought life. He says, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, think about these things. A little exercise. Bring back your last thoughts in the past week. What was the main theme? Oh, Pastor, my finances, I'm in a very tight season of life. Oh, Pastor, it's my marriage. Oh, Pastor, my teenager son is in a very hard time. Of course, we're going to think about the people we love and the main concerns of our lives, but the guidance is clear for transitional times. Not only read the Bible, but also meditate while you are driving. If you do not remember Bible verse, you have an app in your smartphone, and the smartphone can read the Bible for you. Read in a way that you will memorize the scripture and all the Lord's promise. As John Bunyan wrote on the fly leaf of his Bible, he said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. What is happening in our lives? Beyond to speak the word, meditate the word, the Lord says, do the word. Obey the word. Be careful to do. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Scripture is a gift from God for his people. We know as Presbyterians, we are saved by grace through faith. As Pastor Dan shared last Sunday, salvation is a gift. It's not through our good works. But guess what? As God's children, obedience is one of the main characteristics. If the Lord gave us a new heart and we want to succeed in life, we should, through the power of the Holy Spirit, watch our lives and try to obey in every single aspect. It doesn't matter the final results of our projects. We do not have control of the future. We do not have control of what happens in our government. But we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, control our acts and behave like a child of God. So, in practicing these principles in our transitions, let's bring these truths down to the ground where we live. Name your moment. Where are you between what was and what will be? What is your transition now? A move? A new school? A job change? A grief? A diagnosis? A retirement? A new ministry? Like Joshua, refuse to define your future by the size of the giants. Define it by the presence of God. God is with you. Fear not. Rehearse God's track record. Think back over the last 5 years. Bring back the moments of need that you had no hope, and the Lord showed his faithfulness and providence. Bring that every single day when fear and anxiety try to swallow your heart. Clarify your next faithful step. Pray about it. Pray about your motives. What are the reasons? Are you moving to that step, place, position? And making sure that the glory of God, the name of Christ, is the main priority. And He will give you peace on that. And feed on Scripture daily. Start with Joshua 1:1-9. This week, read out loud each morning and evening. Try to memorize verse 9 and repeat every single day. You can say to yourself, Bruno, be strong and courageous. The Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. And as I said, as fear is contagious, courage also is contagious. Encourage someone else who is in transition. Share a verse, share a meal, share your story. The Lord is always strengthening His people, and He will use your life to bring hope to other hearts. Students, like my daughter Nicole, starting a new school, your loneliness is real. The Lord knows that. But it is not permanent. It will pass. He will provide new friends. He will provide new opportunities for His glory. Those discerning a call like Marlon Silva, seminary or no seminary, the priority is the same, Marlon. Know the Word. Love the church. Serve with humility. The Lord is with you. And those adjusting to changing bodies like Lee and me. If you are young, your time will come. Your turn will come. Aging is its own transition. Accept your limits without letting them define you. In the kingdom, fruitfulness is not measured in miles per hour, but in faithfulness per day. I was talking to Grandma John, and she was crying and say, "Oh, Bruno, how deeply I miss to serve in the church as a deaconess and cook meals, and I cannot do that anymore." If you don't know Grandma John, is a beautiful member of our church in the last maybe 60 years. And I said, but in this transitional time, the Lord is with you. And there are new challenges and things that you can do more. You can pray more than what you used to pray. and you can share wisdom in discipleship. Calling younger ladies to share your good stories and also the defeats and what you have learned through the bad experience. As I said, in the kingdom of God, there is no retirement. The Lord still has something special to do through your life. Joshua, or Joshua's very name, points us to the greater Joshua. Joshua means Jesus. Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves. Joshua led God's people into an earthly inheritance by courage and obedience. And our Lord Jesus leads us into an eternal inheritance by his perfect obedience and death on the cross. Joshua heard, "I will be with you." But the good news, church, Jesus is God with us. Joshua told the people to hold the law day and night, but Jesus obeyed the law during his life, and through his obedience, we have eternal life. Put your hope in the Lord. Back to up. Carl and Ellie dreamed of the Paradise Falls. It was her dream since she was a little girl. And as we saw in the introduction, she was not able to make it. And Carl decided to move forward, and with the help of Russo, a scout boy, he finally moves forward in the direction of his dream. Moses wandered 40 years toward the land he would only see from a distance. Yet Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham, and by implication Moses, was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. There are some plans and dreams that we're going to accomplish. Some plans and dreams the Lord will say, "Not yet." And some of them the Lord will say, "No, I have something else better for you." But our goal as God's people is remain faithful and hopeful in the transitions of life. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of this church. We are thankful for everything he has done, and we are sure that he will keep building his kingdom through this community in the way he prepared. So let's pray with faith and confidence that he is in charge of the transitions of your life. Close your eyes and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for your providence. In harvest times, you are our provider. You know, Lord, the big or small challenges that every single life transition brings. But we trust in you. Our hope is in you. And we know that you are building your kingdom within us before to do something through us. So, Lord, if fear and anxiety are trying to consume our hearts, bring us joy and confidence. You are our shepherd. You are our God. And you will be with us. And as we saw in our first reading, you began a good work in our life. And you will bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in you is our confidence. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.